I hope you're paying attention to both of those words that we just got. Because both of those words, if you remember those words, those are like perfect things. I wish I'd had the opportunity for you guys to say those words at the end of the message. Remember those words because they tie in perfectly. You're going to hear a lot of the same things that both Jim said and that Diane said. We're covering a lot of those things here this morning. So that's just awesome. Thank you for being faithful, both of you guys. Appreciate it. Before we get started, a couple things I do want to pray about. Al's nephew Isaac is having a kidney transplant. Isaac is 2 years old, having a kidney transplant this Wednesday. And it's his mother that's actually donating the kidney, and her name is Sabrina. So we want to pray for them. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you've already gone before this surgery, that your hand is on Isaac, that your hand is on Sabrina, that you go before them. And as that surgery takes place, you give the surgeons, you give everyone that is in that room, you give them wisdom, you give them insights, you give them skills, you give them abilities that are supernatural. It's beyond their own abilities. That they're able to just take care of anything that comes up. We rebuke any complications. We thank you that Isaac's body receives that kidney and receives it without any difficulties at all. We thank you for a quick recuperation time, but we also just thank you and praise you because our times and our seasons are in your hands. This season, both Isaac and Sabrina are in your hands, and we praise you in advance and thank you for the success of that surgery, and we speak life into Isaac, that Isaac is able to live the full years of all the life that you've planned for him and do and accomplish everything that you have seen and planned for him to do. We say thank you for that, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Along the same lines, if you remember, we, over the period of time, over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we've been praying for a woman named Leah. And we prayed for a lot during the Bible study, for those of you in the Bible study. And Leah is here today. Leah, would you mind coming up here real quick? Can I embarrass you? What you're going to say at this point, no. No, you can't. We've been praying for Leah because Leah was having just weakness in her hands, and she was just fighting all kinds of different pains. She's been going through military training also, officer's training. And she needed to be able to have the dexterity to get through, first of all, the health to get through, but also the dexterity to do what she's supposed to do. Well, we've been praying about her. Leah's here today. Where do you guys live? Dayton, Ohio. She is here. She's gotten through officer's training, and everything is good. Everything's healthy. Pain is gone.
The pain is gone. I'm still numb in 2 fingers, but I'm hopeful that things will continue to improve. Yes.
Well, we're going to pray and just believe that that takes place. Lord, we lift up Leah. We thank you and praise you for what you've already done in her body. We praise you. We know that that's been by you. So we thank you for that. We speak to these final few things. We speak to her body. We speak to the fingers. We thank you and praise you that she is free and delivered 100%. We accept nothing less than your total best for Leah. Her life is an example of your faithfulness. And we praise you and thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting me embarrass you. But thank you for your faithfulness also. Give God a hand clap. That is just awesome. I love it when we pray and you see the results of your prayers. Man, this has been a good morning already. Haven't you gotten to the Word? You guys ready for the Word? All right, well, last week we were looking at the story of Psalm 29. And in Psalm 29, we saw David, and David was describing a storm that he actually witnessed. Psalm 29 is not a long psalm, but when you read through it, you can see that that's a storm that David actually saw and witnessed. And we saw that David attributed the power of that storm to the power of God. And that power, David concluded, that power is available for his people. That's what David concluded. The power of God in that storm, and David saw that that power of God available in his people. You know, when David was saying that, to a large extent, when he said the power of God was available to his people, he was looking and seeing you and I today because we have the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Now, while we should expect to see that power in our lives, the sad truth is many people in the body of Christ, we live our lives and we have very little expectation that we're going to see or experience that power of God as it would come against and defeat the storms and the chaos in our lives. We need to have greater expectation for that power in our lives. Last week, we also looked and we saw, if you're here for the first time, I try really hard to have messages that are just 1 week long, but I think that that's pretty rare. We had a message that started with 1 week, and I think it was actually 12 weeks when we were done. So I'm trying to give you a review so you can at least be where we are. We also had seen that there's a Hebrew word in the Bible, the Hebrew word for spirit, indicating the Spirit of God. That Hebrew word is the exact same word that is used in the Bible for wind. So Spirit of God and wind in the same thing. And we saw that that wind was the Holy Spirit demonstrated on Pentecost. And then we also came to see that that same Holy Spirit dwells within us at salvation, and it dwells within us in power. Last week we also looked and we saw, boy, it sounds like we covered a lot of ground last week, doesn't it? Last week we also looked and we saw Paul in Acts chapter 14. And Paul was challenging those people who were listening to him. And he was challenging them to have greater expectations for the power of the Word of God in their lives. And he was telling them not to become like the scoffers and the scorners of the Word of God as the people were in Habakkuk's time. Too many people in the body of Christ today, too many people speak the words of the world instead of speaking the Word of God, the Word that is there. And then if we do that, we become the scoffers and the scorners of the Word today. From Paul's reference of the time of Habakkuk, we need to be encouraged to become, as Paul said, astonished and astounded by the power of the Word of God in our lives. We should expect to be astonished and astounded by the power of the Word. This should be our level of expectation for the Word of God in our lives. Now today what I want to do is build upon those things. I want to build upon the power of God in the storm that David saw, so that we can stand against the storms of our life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That we can stand against the storms of our lives from this word and the truth that is in this word for us. So the storms in your life, those storms can be anything. It can be our health, it can be our finances, it can be our job. It can be any storm that the enemy levels against you. It can even be against the actual physical storms in your life. Storms come against your home. We have the power and the authority of Jesus' name, and we should have an expectancy of seeing the power of the Word working in our lives. We can quell the storms in our life. We can help quell the storms in other people's lives as well, as we speak the Word of God in faith over them. We need to be expectant. We need to be ready to be astonished and astounded as the Word works through us. Because Jesus does want to work the Word through us in our lives, but also as we speak that Word into the lives of other people. Let's look at what else Paul said. This is Paul speaking to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading this morning from the Amplified Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and the glorious blessedness, into which true believers will enter after Christ's return. And we also expectantly thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of mere men, but as it is truly the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising in superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust and rely upon it. Paul is teaching us there. He's teaching us how to minister in the harvest field, as we were looking at several weeks ago. He was teaching us to do that. But Paul's also revealing a foundational truth to us here in verse number 13. That foundational truth is that as we share the Word of God, as we speak the Word of God, so in other words, as I speak or as you speak and you're praying for somebody and you're praying the Word of God, so that when you pray for their healing or you pray for their deliverance and you speak the Word of God over their lives, what he's saying is as we speak that Word over people's lives, we have to first understand ourselves that the Bible is not merely the words of men. It is the Word of God. And so there is power that comes when you speak the word of God. It's not your power. It's the power of Jesus Christ that works through us. And that's why we should have that expectancy at all times when we pray. Whether we're praying for our lives or praying for someone else's life. We should have that expectancy. Speak the word of God and speak the word of God in faith. And when you speak the word of God in faith, that word works effectually, according to what we just read. When you speak the word of God in faith, that word works effectually in your life. Effectual means that that word is working and having great effect through you. So what does that look like? Well, get out your spiritual capes and your spiritual tights, because according to this, the word works through you with superhuman power. What is the level of expectation that you have? When you're praying, when you're speaking this word and the promises that are in here, when you're speaking this word, what is the level of expectation? Are you expecting to see superhuman power at work through you? Because this is what we're told that we should expect. I mean, think about it. When you speak the word of God over the storms of your life, whatever storms you've brought with you today, when you speak the word of God over the storms of your life, or when you speak the word of God over someone else's life in prayer, that is the word, that is the word of God working through your words with superhuman power. That's awesome to stop and think about. You guys should look somewhat excited about that. This is what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us and teach us. This is the power that we have. This is what is available for us. So speak against the storms of your life. Speak against the storms in the power of the Word of God and expect to be astonished and astounded by how the Word works with superhuman power through you. So as you're here today, what are the storms that are in your life? What are the storms that come against you? What is it that assails you this morning and causes you to doubt that you will come through that storm victoriously? What is the world or what is life telling you to just merely accept? What's the word telling you to accept that is contrary to the promises that Jesus has given us in this world? What is the unrelenting storm in your life? What is it that just continues to be a storm that rages against you? I want us to leave here this morning not merely being able to brace ourselves against those gale force assaults that the enemy has and throws against our lives. I want us to be able to advance against those very assaults. Advance against those assaults in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Rather than just hunkering down, and this is what we do. We tend to just hunker down against the storms of life, and hope that we can just ride out the storms. That's the way we tend to lead our lives. I mean, think about the storms that you've experienced or maybe you're experiencing right now. How many times you just hope to get your way through it, hunker down, survive, get through it. Don't just get through it. Stand up. Don't hunker down. Stand up. Enforce the word of God that he's given us. Speak his word in faith over your situation and see the word of God working in your life. See the effects of his word. Enforce the word by rebuking the storms in your life. Anybody have storms today? I mean, I think we all go through those storms of life. So last week we saw David and the storm that he had. Well, like David, Paul also witnessed storms in his life. In Acts chapter 27, we see Paul. As Paul is on his way to Rome. And as that ship sets sail, as soon as that ship sets sail, immediately it faces contrary winds and ongoing difficulties. And with each passing day, their situation gets more and more desperate until eventually every man on board that ship that we see in Acts chapter 27, every man on that ship is in a fight for their lives. They're fighting for their survival against the unrelenting storm that has captured them. Ever felt that way? And then things just continue to worsen for them. They see neither the sun by day nor the stars by night for many days because of the intensity of that storm. That constant struggle against that storm so wearies the men that the Bible tells us in the story that they just let go of hope. And they literally just gave up hope. Have you ever faced unrelenting storms in your life? That it just seems like you can't get past that storm? Ever faced unrelenting storms? That it just seems like you are wearied to the point that you can't even have any hope that things might change in your life. When you feel those things, we need to be encouraged by the power that we have in the Word of God. We have the power to speak against those storms and rebuke those storms that come against us. Because it's that very moment, at the very moment when all those men had let go of hope, that's the moment that Paul stands up in the midst of those hopeless men. And he says these words. Acts 27, verse number 22. Paul says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life amongst you, but only of the ship." Paul is making a statement here. Paul is speaking. He's speaking against the storm. He is speaking life. This is an example that we can take. Look, the storms in your life, storms come in the form of sickness. Storms come in the form of finances. It comes in marriages. It comes in family. It comes in emotions. It comes in depressions. It comes against addictions, etc., etc. The storms of your life, they continue to grow and they intensify until you get to the point where you feel like you are so wearied, you're tired of waging battles against the effects of the storm. And when you get that deep into a storm, you tend to see nothing else but the storm. That is all you can see. You become obsessed with that storm. And you give up all hope of ever seeing deliverance from that storm. When you're in the midst of a storm like these men were, when you're in the midst of that storm, and you face the same storm day after day, and you see the same effects day after day, here's what happens. You come to expect that today when you get up, you're going to face the same effects of the storm. You anticipate facing the same blinding circumstances that you faced yesterday. And you've already accepted the fact that tomorrow is going to be the same thing. Because you've seen that effects of the storm day after day. We get to the point where that's all that we expect to see. We have the Word of God. No matter how long, whatever your storm is, no matter how long that storm has raged in your life, it can change in an instant by the mere speaking of the Word of God, speaking His promises over your storm. It doesn't always change in an instant that we can see. It does change in an instant. Sometimes we see the effects immediately. Other times we just have to know that when you speak the Word of God in faith, it changes immediately. And if you continue to believe it, you will see your circumstances line up. You'll see that storm dissipate. Paul spoke the word that God gave him, and every one of those sailors, every one of their lives was saved. You facing unrelenting storms? If you're not now, you will at some point. That's just the way this life is. If you're facing unrelenting storms, speak the Word of God. Speak His Word over that situation and over that storm. And speak it with a sense of expectation, of expectancy to see the amazing, the supernatural power of God's Word, of Jesus in your lives. This is what we should expect. Multiple times in the Gospels, we see the narrative of Jesus exemplifying this very truth as He teaches us to speak against the storms of our lives. In the same way that Jesus spoke, He rebuked that storm on the sea. Let's look at that story. This is in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35 through 41. I want you to remember this, these first words you see in this. Because verse 35, and we'll come back to this. Verse 35 starts off by saying, on that same day. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus is showing us in these verses that he has already prepared us and empowered us to speak against the storms of our life in the authority of his name. He's already done this. The work is already done. All we have to do is take that faith step. And we do that by speaking his word, applying the word of God that we have, applying the word to the situation, speaking to the storm so that we cause the storms to cease. You know what? If you can get those storms to cease, you wind up being able to, just as Jim and Diane were saying, you get to face all of that. And that which the enemy means for your destruction turns out to be for your benefit. The very storms that he means to destroy you, you get blessed by it. You get refreshed by it. You get stronger because you walk through it. But you have to be able to face those storms. You can't hunker down. You've got to stand up. You've got to face those storms in the authority that you have in Jesus Christ and by speaking his word into that storm. And when you do, those storms break. And it becomes that rain. It becomes that refreshing, that strength for you. I also want you to note, in those verses, in that account of the miracle of Jesus Christ, in that specific miracle of Jesus, I want you to note that it starts off, that account starts off by making sure that we all understand that that superhuman event took place on the same day. Again, verse number 35, on the same day. I love the word because the word always has significance. Sometimes we just read over things and we don't stop to think about it. What was that day? It said that these things happened on the same day. What was that day? I mean, it seems like knowing what that day is, knowing that seems to be pretty important to our understanding why the winds and the sea obey Jesus. So, what did happen on that same day? What happened that day that should help us in our understanding of commanding the storms of our life to be at peace? Well, this chapter begins earlier in that same day. And if you go back and you read through that chapter, you're going to find that that day started off with Jesus teaching the parables. And he taught, first of all, the parable of the seed and the sower. And here's what the Lord spoke through Diane. The Lord, Jesus taught us in that parable that the seed is the word of God. And the seed does its best. It produces its most. It excels when it's in good soil. So Jesus taught the seed is the word, and the word produces the best when it's in good soil. Also that same day, read through that chapter, also that same day, you see that Jesus also taught the parable of the seed that grows. And there we learn that just as a man plants a seed and the seed sprouts and it grows and it eventually produces fruit, just as a man does that, so are we supposed to sow the word of God in our lives. And as the planter sleeps, the seed grows and it produces fruit, although the planter doesn't know how. Well, for you and I, you sow the word of God when you speak the word of God in faith. You sow the word of God when you speak the word of God in faith. Now, you don't have to know how that seed develops and how that seed leads to deliverance in Jesus Christ. You don't have to know how. You just have to know to speak the word, and the word works. It does. That's all that we have to do, and that's all that we have to know. So those two parables. Now, later, in that same day, we see Jesus teaching the parable of the mustard seed. And it shows us that even the smallest seed like the mustard seed, even that can produce a great plant, a plant that is big enough that its branches are so strong the birds can rest upon it. Look, even the simplest word of God spoken in faith can calm the biggest storms of your life. Jesus is teaching parable after parable throughout this day, teaching them the word of God. He spends the day teaching them about the power of the word of God so that they can speak the word of God with life-altering results. That's what he's taught them all day long. That same day, Jesus taught the word, the power of the word. Then that same day, they get in the boat, they shove off, and they face a storm that threatens their very lives. That same day, they have the opportunity to apply the word that they've already learned, to apply that word and put it into practice against the storm that is facing them. But they didn't apply that word. So my question is for you and I, what do we do with the word that we have? What do we do with the word that we have? Are we ready to apply the word that's been given to us? Are we ready to apply that word into our lives on a daily basis? Are we ready to stand against the storms of our life in the power of the word of God? Let me just give you a really quick thing to think about. Just go from January of this year until now. That's just from January to the middle of August. What is the word of God that you've learned? What are the things that God has shown you in the word of God? What has the Holy Spirit shown you in your own personal time reading the word of God? Or what has he shown you by teachings that you've heard here or somewhere else? And have you applied those words? Have you applied that word that you learned? Have you applied it to your life? Because when you get a truth from the word of God, listen to me, please. When you get a truth from the word of God, you have to put that word into practice right away. If you want that to become an ongoing part of your daily faith walk, you have to put that word into practice right away. And I can assure you of this. When he gives you a word, when you get a truth that you understand, he will give you an opportunity very quickly to apply that word to your life so you can learn it and it can become an ongoing part of your daily walk. There's a man that comes to our Bible study, and just this last week, he was talking to us about his mother who's in the hospital with various illnesses. And he said that he keeps going up to the hospital room and he takes the word with her and he teaches her the word of God. He's teaching her all those scriptures that have to do with healing. And he's telling her that Jesus is healed and he's giving her the words to stand on. He's teaching it to her and she's receiving it with joy and she's receiving it with excitement. And her expression back is an expression of thankfulness, gratitude for your teaching me these things. She received the word, and just like the disciples, when you receive the word, you get an opportunity to put it into practice right away. And she got an opportunity right away, multiple times. He gave her the word, he taught her the word, she received it with joy, and then the doctors come into her room time after time. He'll teach the word. The doctors come in the room and ask how she is, and she speaks words that are exactly opposite of what she had just been taught. Her words are words of doubt and words of defeat. She received the word with joy and with excitement, but she didn't apply the word to her life and to life situations. How often do we hear the word of God? We hear it. We receive it with excitement. We receive it with joy, but we don't apply it to our lives. If we don't apply it to our lives, it becomes nothing more than merely a concept to us. It's not a tool. It's not a weapon that we can use for warfare. Jesus said to the disciples in that verse, those verses, Jesus said to the disciples, we're going to the other side. Jesus is the Word of God. So anything that Jesus says is the Word. They could have stood on that Word that Jesus spoke. They could have stood on that Word and quieted the storm. They didn't have to know how the Word of God. It wasn't important for them to know how the Word of God would quiet the storm. They didn't have to know that. All they had to know was if they speak the Word of God that they had, as they speak that Word of God, the spiritual realm realities will displace the worldly natural realm realities, and that storm would be quieted. That's all that they had to learn. Jesus gave them the Word. He expected them to stand on the Word, and He expected them to apply the Word in their lives right away, but they didn't. What about us? Again, just think about the Word that you've gotten. Think about the things, even in your own personal quiet time, think about the times that you read the Word and it speaks to you. I guarantee you there will be very quickly opportunities to apply that Word. We need to be aware of that and speak that Word that we learned over those opportunities. Now, I can only speak for myself in these things, but let me just give you some examples. Some of you may have heard these examples before, but they're poignant for our message this morning. When I was working at Yes FM, there came a point when we were subletting from another organization. And the landlord, through a whole series of different things, the landlord, we got an eviction notice. Now, we had been paying our rent on an ongoing basis, but we have an eviction notice. I did everything I could to try to talk to that landlord and to let him know that we pay all the time and we will pay. You work out a deal with me. I'm making a really long story short, but every effort I made to speak to that man, he would not speak to me. I even got a friend of mine who was a friend of his and asked him if he would go on my behalf. And that man came back and he said, here's what the man said. Here's what the landlord said. Don't call me. Don't write me. I don't want to hear from you. I just want you people out. That's pretty definitive. It came down to we were about 4 days from when they were going to file for the eviction notice. And as my lawyers told me, once it's filed, I've got at best 6 weeks to get moved out and find someplace else. Well, at that point, Yes FM ceases to exist because we didn't have the money. We couldn't afford to move somewhere. We didn't have any place to go. We've got 6 weeks. And that day before, that was going to be on a Tuesday. That Friday before, I came to a place in my life where I had to speak the Word of God. And I walked around my property and I carried my Bible with me. I sat on our back deck and I found about 4 verses that I knew I could stand on. And I walked around my property and I spoke those words over that situation and over that storm that threatened to end Yes FM. I spoke that word and I started praising Him and thanking Him. And I came back into the house and I called my board of directors president. And I said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt God's going to resolve this. And he said, Tom, I'm going to call you and tell you the same thing. And that Monday, through a whole series of events, I don't want to go through all the time. Let me just tell you, that Monday, the same man that said, don't call me, don't talk to me, I just want you people out, that same man turned the whole situation upside down. And we no longer were in a situation of being subletters. We were in a place of prime. And that same, I still have communication with that same landlord. That landlord has called me multiple times and asked me for my spiritual opinion on things. That man said, if you ever move out to the area, if you ever decide to move Yes FM out to where he lives, he said, let me know because I want to become one of your first investors. That's how fast God can turn things around. The storms of your life can turn in an instant by speaking the Word of God in faith. Donna had a situation at her work where there was a couple of people that were trying to work behind her back and get her in trouble. They were actually hoping to get her fired. And Donna and I prayed. We spoke the word. And the word that we spoke was, there's a word that says, by the very trap, by the very hole they dig, they will fall into it themselves. And we prayed that word. And we prayed for God for them, that when they fell into that trap that they had set, when they fell into their own trap, that they would learn and that they would see God and that they would benefit from that. Now, I don't know what happened to them because they fell into their own trap and they're no longer there. And Donna is. I'm assuming that God took care of the rest of that and that they learned a lesson and they learned about Jesus Christ through that. But it's speaking the Word of God and applying the Word to the storms of your life. I've told you guys several instances. I won't go through it again, but I've told you multiple instances with my health where I spoke the word of God and I spoke the words of healing over my life and I saw those things take place. And it's not just the physical things. This is true even of the actual storms in your life. I've told you guys before, there was about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, Jeff, who's now the station manager of YesFM, he was the program director then, and he knew that I lived in Grand Rapids, and Jeff loves the weather. And there was this tornado watch, and he was watching the radar, and he said to me, Todd, just think you should know, it looks like there's a tornado forming right over Grand Rapids. So I didn't tell Donna because I knew she wouldn't like this, but I got in my car, and I drove towards Grand Rapids. Because I wanted to pray. This is why I didn't tell Donna. These are the stories you tell Donna after the fact, when you can see God's faithfulness. So I got in the car and I'm driving because I want to pray over our property. And I want to pray that nothing affects our property because it's His. Everything that I have in life, including my life, belongs to Him. I'm just a steward of these things. So that property is His. I'm just a steward of it. So I'm going to go pray over that property so that it is safe. I got to about 2 miles away from our house, and a tree had fallen in the road. And so I couldn't get to the house in the normal way that I could. So I had to go this back way, which takes me like 2.5 or 3 miles down this one road. And then I have to come another 2.5 or 3 miles down another road to get to our house. And I promise you, every property that I went by, now, in fairness, out there in Grand Rapids, it's not like properties are right on top of each other. I mean, they are spread out. But every single property that I went by either had large branches that were broken off in their yards or actually had trees uprooted so you could see all the roots in the dirt because the winds had just come by and blown them up. Every single property to my right and my left. And when I'm coming from my house to that way, I'm coming over a rise. And I know that when I get over that rise, I'm going to see our house. And I know that even though I've seen damage on every single house, I'm not going to see any damage at our house. And I got to my house, there's no damage at all. There was nothing in our yards. My point is, and please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not perfect at this. I'm still learning and developing this myself. But I have come to understand that the principles of the Word of God are true. If you will speak the Word of God to the storms of your life, whatever those storms might be, the Word works. So speak it against those storms. Because then all those things that Satan brings against us, they are broken, and what he intended to destroy us becomes actually beneficial. It waters us, it cleanses us, it refreshes us, it strengthens us. This is what the Word does. Let's end this morning. I want to look at verse number 36. Verse number 36 says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was." Does that just sound a little odd to you? They took him in the boat. I guess I gave you the wrong one on that. Does anybody see as he was? As he was, yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, so does that look weird to you at all? As he was? I mean, that just sounds like a strange way to word something. But again, I love the Bible because there's no words that are wasted. They all have meaning and they all show us something. As he was. It sounds like they took him into the boat and they were expecting some kind of a wardrobe change or something. But he didn't have time, so they took him as he was. Well, that's not obviously what it means. But think about this. Remember, we just saw that same day, all day long, Jesus had been teaching the multitudes, and he'd been teaching them from this boat. Jesus had been in that boat all day. It's the disciples who got into the boat with him. The disciples got into the boat as he was. In other words, as he already was. Get into the boat with the Word of God. Get into the boat where the Word is. Because Jesus is already there with the power of the Word of God. He's just waiting for us to get on board and apply the Word of God against the storms of our lives. This is what he has provided for us by his Word. And then we also see in that verse that once they got into the boat, what did they do? They left the multitudes. Get away. Get away from the scorners and scoffers of the Word of God. Get away from the people that will tell you something contrary to the Word of God. Get into the boat, shove off from shore, and leave behind all of the doubts and all the compromises that come with people who are scoffers and scorners of the Word of God. Because it's when you get away from them, that's when you can start to learn to apply the Word of God that he's taught you and shared with you, that you can apply that word to your life. Apply the word of God to your life. Jesus wants us to apply his word, the word that he gives us. He wants it to apply to his life. Just like when we prayed, we were applying the word of God to Leah's life, even though she wasn't even in this area. This is the power of the word against the storms of life. Don't just hunker down against the storms of life and hope that you can survive against them. Speak the word and let the word work through you. Jesus rebuked the storms in his life. He rebuked the storms on the sea. And Jesus said in John chapter 14 that we will do greater things than he did in this life. Jesus has prepared you. He's taught you. He has empowered you to rebuke the storms of your life. So whatever your storms are today, let's rebuke those storms. Now, next week, we'll continue looking at this. We'll continue looking at that story in Mark chapter 4. Let's stand up. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your word is true. We thank you how faithful you are to your word. And we thank you that every time we look in your word and we read your word, that you show us, Holy Spirit, you show us new truths. And we make the determination this morning that we will, as we learn those truths, we will apply that word. We will put it into practice in our lives. Not just in our lives, but as we speak it into the lives of others, that in everything, you are glorified. Jesus, you are glorified through our lives as you use us to advance your kingdom. We praise you and thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's praise and worship as we close this morning.